Praise the Lord for such encouraging scripture for us today. Amen. It's so beautiful to hear about the healing that took place in this story. These words are probably known to you for a long time. They're always very enriching and helpful to us. I want to just share with you that I have been led today to talk about something that I've heard about in the community and also in other places as well, and I felt led today to talk about this in view of the healing that took place in this story that we just heard and that Alfred just read to us. There is a remarkable turn of events in what happened here, and it's actually interesting that Jairus, this leader of the synagogue, had a daughter who was dying, and he was seeking Jesus and wanted him to help, bowing down in front of him and saying, "Please, please help my daughter. You know, she's dying." Words cannot express that the way that he felt at that moment. But he went to Jesus and sought his help, right? And this is a person who was the leader in the synagogue, and that was not someone who usually would look to Jesus as being the source of healing. He would go to God and to the other doctors and those kind of means. And Jesus did not have a good reputation among the leaders of the temple, but Jairus put all that aside because his daughter was so dear to him. And he said, "I need to have your help. Please help my daughter. She's dying." You know, and so he listened to him, but along the way, this woman who had a terrible health issue with bleeding for 12 years, right? You can imagine the distress that caused her in her life for so long, and then coming to Jesus and just thinking to herself and exhibiting great faith, you know, of her own. She was really not aware of you and me reading this story one day. You know, she was in that moment where she also felt this, you know, like, "I need to be done with this, and I'm going to go to him to ask his help." But she didn't even think to ask him. She just touched his robe, thinking, you know, "All I need to do is touch his robe." And if we think about that for a moment, how wonderful that faith was of hers, you know, to think that I just need to touch his gown and my sickness would be healed in that kind of a way. And then Jesus healed her. Jesus healed her. First he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" You know, and it was this kind of a scene where, of course, you know, there were many people around him. But he knew that power had gone out from himself and that this woman had touched his robe in that way. And so that is a tremendous image for us to have in our minds this morning of what God does in our lives. Right? It's not just what happened to her, but it's also something that is given to us. And it really helps to hear examples of people's lives, of how God has changed them and how he's healed them and moved their lives, for us to be able to see, yes, he can do that for me too. And that is really what God wants you to know today, that he is very much involved in your life and that he can heal you. And we may, you know, we've been talking about doubt, you know, and things like that on Wednesday night in the Bible study. And it was even mentioned that doubt can be a good means to improve our faith. Doubt is not necessarily a negative thing. It causes us to ponder and to think about what is going on and to wonder whether something is going to come about. But doubts really are not meant to remain doubts. They are meant to evolve into faith. And so if we have doubt in our lives, you know, and if you have doubt in your life, don't be dismayed, but continue to seek God. Continue to seek God, and you can seek him in his word. You can seek him in prayer. You can know by this example here that God was there for these people. He didn't abandon them. And that's a big message for us today. But anyway, I kind of sidetracked by going to the story a little bit here, and what I really wanted to say is that I feel what God is saying to us today is that He knows that we have gone through a pandemic. And there are, what I really have heard time and time again is that the people are still, you know, in this kind of a time where they are, they're still experiencing the pandemic, even though they, you know, it seems like the worst is over now. There are still lingering effects. Would you agree with that? There are still lingering effects of the pandemic that are around us. You know, we were talking about the Zoom calls and saying that, you know, people are staying home and watching on Zoom. There are people also that are, you know, not going out, to be honest. You know, there are elderly people in our church that still will not come to church because they are afraid and of illness, or maybe they're feeling like, well, I'm older now and I can't really go out as much as I can. And we really do have to be mindful of those people. So let's really take that to heart and reach out to people to just, you know, I know that if you're doing that already, then great job and continue to do it. But there are people that are really in need, and they are still having these effects of the pandemic. But what God is saying to us today is that I heal people. The pandemic had a big effect on us. Right? I was listening to a radio interview with someone who had been very involved with the whole scientific part of that and helping people along to understand what was happening through COVID and that virus, and it's still on the radio. And people were calling in and even complaining, why couldn't you do more? Why wasn't more done? How come it's, you know, all these different things. So people are still processing what we have gone through. Now, from my viewpoint, I feel that, you know, in our church, we did a lot of things that were actually quite remarkable, and in coming together to join forces and to enable us to continue in worship. And we really worked as a team to be able to do that, to allow people to continue coming into church. And sadly, there are churches that folded and were not able to meet any longer because they didn't have the means that we had to have Zoom and things like that. But we did. And God is the reason for that. He allows us to be able to worship today using this kind of a means. But the main thing is that there are people that feel sick. There are people that still feel the effects of COVID in their bodies. They will tell you that there's, you know, they have different problems that are still with them, with their digestive system or with their brains and different things. They just feel like there's this thing still going on inside of them. And I think that we need to recognize that. You know, we do need to recognize that, but we can also take heart through the Bible and what God is teaching us. And that, I think that's really the crux of this message here, is we're not only, of course, we want to say, heal us, Lord, but we are getting a big lesson in faith. Faith is evident throughout this entire story, right? And we see it all through this. It was faith of the man Jairus going to Jesus, despite his personal feelings about him, you know, and it's kind of interesting because people may not have feelings about God, but when it comes to a family member who is sick, or if they have a life-threatening kind of a disease, God starts to look a lot more attractive, right? And we're thinking, well, I'm going to him because I've tried other things and it's not helping, right? So this man went to him, the rulers, and he fell at his feet, implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. Right? And so this man said, come and lay your hands on, you know, and so it could very well be that he heard about Jesus having healed other people that way, to lay hands on people, and that they were healed. And so he went to him in that kind of a way. But his whole body was involved in it. He was earnestly seeking him. He bowed before him. He paid him respect. And in so doing, he shows us what our attitude and what our bodies should also do before God. Right? Oftentimes when we see things that are going on or if we're experiencing things, we will stay upright. And when we're upright, then we are depending on our own strength. But when we fall before God, then we are really offering ourselves and saying, I'm at your mercy, Lord. I really need your help. I can't do this myself. There's no doctors that can help me. And I can't find any cure for this. And my daughter's dying. Please come. Lay your hands on her and she will live. So Jesus went, and the crowd followed him and thronged around him because he was this miracle worker, right? He was he is the Son of God, but they saw him as this important person who was healing people. And then this woman comes who had a discharge of blood 12 years. It's kind of interesting that she had it for 12 years, and then the girl who was dying was 12 years old. Perhaps there's some kind of a connection there, but it's the length of time. In one area, it was a long time, but this is also affecting someone who is young in her life, and she was near death. And eventually she died, but Jesus brought her back to life. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Now take that in for a moment. Can you say hallelujah? I mean, hallelujah. We're meant to be in this, right? We're in that moment. Hallelujah. That is a truth that we want to hold on to here. She was healed. And so that is one of the things we need to understand in this world. Jesus does not just heal at the time of that girl and that woman. I don't believe that, right? I don't believe that it was only at the time of that this happened. And there's different reasons for that, but claim that truth that he healed this person, and we're reading about it, yes, to rejoice that this woman was healed, but also to take to heart that we have faith that he can do it in our lives. He can do it. He will do it, right? He did it here. It's a matter of faith that we have in him, right? And so Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who's touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. When I just read this now, I was thinking, okay, so what is the whole truth that she told him? About her life? I mean, she was also very, very trembling, and it didn't seem like she really wanted the attention. You know, she didn't want to draw attention to herself and things like that. And it's a funny thing. Maybe she was feeling like, did I do something wrong, you know, to touch his garment? You know, am I allowed to do that? Who knows? She seems to be a person who is suffering all of her life. And people who are poor or who are suffering oftentimes don't feel like they have a connection with people who are, you know, in positions of authority. There's kind of a complex in that way. Maybe you have some other thoughts on that, why she would do that. You know, why would she? But I think it's also a trembling because she was in the presence of someone who had just healed her. She knew she was healed. That must have been an incredible feeling to have suffered for so long. But guys, this is the thing. Because we're all human, because we're all, you know, alike, it's very easy for us to think, yeah, but he doesn't do that all the time. And I'm still going through things in my life, and I pray to him, and I do have faith. I believe this story, yes, but why am I not healed? I think that God has a way of helping us today to encourage us in those kind of thoughts and to help us, because he doesn't want us to wonder why. He wants us to have faith in him. He wants us to live lives that are bent on that and bowing down to him in that kind of a way, to realize that he can do that. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Be healed of your disease. So there is healing that took place in this story, and we are to take it to heart to be happy for her, but also to claim that truth that it can happen for us. God is a God of healing. And so we pray, Lord, heal us. Heal us. And there's all different kinds of healing that takes place. There's physical healing. But I think that in the time of pandemic, there's also other kinds of healing, right, that people are going through. It could be as simple as saying, I didn't get to attend my graduation, right? I didn't get to live out the things that my friends in school got to go through because I was so, you know, at home having to study on Zoom instead of being around them. I missed out on all of these relationships and the things that I had going on at school, and I want you to know that that's important to God. You are important to God. But he can help you in that kind of a feeling of loss as well. He can help supply your need in that way. It doesn't matter what it is. There are different things that we go through in life. But I do know that God is good and that he loves you, and he can use that and even bring good from that so that you can one day say, you know what? I'm happy that happened to me at that time. I can see now in whatever God reveals to you that you begin to see it through his eyes, and you appreciate life, and you see that actually he was there for your good. And he hadn't left you. You missed out on those things, yes, but it's not the end. God is a God of the future. And he uses our time during those times to prepare us for things that are actually greater. And that you need to go through those times to be prepared for the things that he wants you to do in life. It's very amazing what God does. But it's also very, very hurtful, and he understands that pain. But don't lose heart. We were reading that verse over and over again. Take heart. Paul said to people, take heart. That's a great thing to say to someone. If they're, you know, we oftentimes wonder, what can I say to somebody in that kind of a moment? That would be a great word. Take heart. The Lord is with you. Take heart. Don't be afraid. Right? Claim those words. That's what we heard today, and we heard that through the scripture this week. Do not be afraid. Take heart. And sometimes people just need to hear that. They don't need you to spend a lot of time with them and spend a lot of time teaching them and calling them up and following up. What they need is a firm word of encouragement that is going to get them back on the road, and then they keep going. And you keep going and going and going and going. A kid falls down, you go over, you pick them up, and then before you know it, they're gone. They're like, I'm okay. But that word comes from God's word. We need to have those words ready at that time, for those times. God knows what you're going through. And he knows that you missed out on these things, but he still is with you, and he has a plan for your life, and he can use those things for his good. Keep going. Take heart. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't get lost up in those feelings of loss. You have God. He's your God, and he loves you, and he can heal you of those feelings like that. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, that there were things that happened in my life that caused me to be very, very, my emotions were very fragile. If I started to talk about some of the things that happened in my life, I began to shake. I really shook because I was so overcome by the hurt of those times and the things that happened in my life. I can admit that to you now. And I can talk about that now because God healed me from those things. He healed me from those times. And he gave me a perspective on how I can use those times to understand the hurt that others are going through. And that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Yes, you go through times like that. Identify it as such. I am going to go through. If I told Jacob that he's going to be fine, don't worry about a thing in life, I'd be lying to him. I wouldn't be a very good pastor. Because there are things that are going to happen, but we have the Lord with us. And he is our strength and our song. So we have to be ready to tell people like that. If we don't do that, you know, they're not going to hear it, and then they're going to just keep on going on the way they are. But in the pandemic is not greater than God. He is in control, and he is all-knowing, and he knows you and what you're feeling. And you can cry out to him and complain to him and say, Lord, I really don't feel this is fair. He will listen to every word you say. But as a good father, he will also say to you, I'm going to take your hand and you're going to go. And this is not going to hold you back. And I'm going to help you through this time. You can depend on it. And so after Jesus said this amazing thing, daughter, your faith has made you well, which is in itself something we want to keep in mind. Your faith has made you well. You want to be well? You need to practice faith. And we're going to get that to in a minute. So while he was still speaking, there came the rulers from the ruler's house, some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Isn't that the case many times when people say, Jesus doesn't heal anymore? Yeah, forget about it. You've been sick for so long, you know, why don't you just try to live with it? There's many things that come from the enemy to try to get us off guard. We're going to be studying about that in the Bible lesson after this. It is in the life prep, right? The enemy is there and he's trying to disturb people. And this is one case, right? We see this, a perfect example of it. Your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any longer? Why would anybody say that in the first place? What an unkind thing to say to someone, right? Don't bother the teacher anymore. The teacher wants to go, okay? And the teacher is the Son of God who is going to bring the only hope that you have into the situation. But people are like, forget about God. Let me take another route. I'll just go into this kind of an area, right? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, he spoke directly to the man, do not fear, only believe. Amen? Do not fear, only believe. So we have two things here, right? Already, take heart, don't be afraid. And then what Jesus says here, don't fear, only believe. And these are the things that we are equipped with. This is what God gives to us in his word. I want to share something here. It says this excellent lesson on this subject. It said, at times we focus more on the circumstances than God's promises. Looking at circumstances can cause fear. Like Peter looking at the water when he tried to walk on it. He sank when he took his eyes off Jesus. When we keep our eyes, our minds focused on God and his promises, we have faith, and that faith gives us perfect peace. So don't look at the circumstances, focus on God. So let me talk about this. This is a very important teaching here that I believe is going to help us in those moments that we are feeling that we are in need of healing, that there's something at hand in our lives that really we're not able to handle. And I'm just open your heart to this, everyone. The promises of God are described in Scripture as the following. One, unfailing. The promises of God are unfailing. Can we say that together? The promises of God are unfailing. In 1 Kings 8:56, we read, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all he promised. Not one word has failed of all of his good promise, which he spoke by Moses, his servant. Claim that. Number one, unfailing. The promises of God are unfailing. When you're in need of healing, when you're feeling that this is going on for 12 years or whatever length of time that is going on, something that you're going through, remember that the promises of God are unfailing. Number two, they are assured. In Romans 4:21, Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Do we believe, brothers and sisters, that God is able to do healing? That he is able to heal? That he promises in his word? He has shown it in his word that he can heal people? Yes. We need to be assured, and we can be assured through scripture. Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And number three, promises of God are grounded in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. And that is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. It is in Christ that God has grounded his promises. This is theology, right? This is something that we have to think about for a moment, but it's grounded in Christ. Why? Because he left heaven and came to earth and died on the cross for our sins, could not be held in the grave, was brought out of the grave, resurrected from the dead, and rose into heaven where he sits at the right hand of God and is returning again so that we will one day be with him forever. That is the promise of God. It's grounded in his example, in his son. He represents that to us. And this is the one who healed the woman with the 12-year disease and also this little girl. The promises of God are described as great and precious. In 2 Peter 1:4, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. They are precious and very great promises that God has given to us. And the last one here, at least this list, is the promise of God are everlasting. They're everlasting. In 1 John 2:25, it says, and this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. This is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. And so when we face these kind of problems and we're in this kind of a moment where we're going through these things, then we grasp onto those promises knowing that they are eternal promises. Even if something happens to us, we have eternity in our hands. You know, I want to just say this, that it is very, very hard to lose someone who is very, very close to you, especially when they are 52 years old like Toby was. But he is in the presence of God. And we sang songs of rejoicing yesterday because the family members know. And he told them himself. We learned yesterday that he rededicated his life to Christ in the midst of brain tumor sickness, dying from that. And he claimed Christ. The promise of eternal life, and now he's experiencing it. And so as much as it hurts, and we do not want to go through hurt, there is something greater waiting for us. There is something greater waiting for us, and we will be in the presence of God, and those who believe in him will join those who are in heaven together to worship him. And that is the power of God. It is not just a fix for a disease or something here on earth. It is greater than that. It's like what I was telling Jacob. It's a spiritual walk through life. And where it's not just a walk to an end where you drop off the edge of the earth. It is one that leads us into heaven. That is where we are going. And that's where the Pilgrim's Progress is talking about. We go on this journey. It's not like this journey to nowhere. It is to heaven. And that is what we really want to remember here. So number one, they're unfailing. The promises of God are unfailing. They're assured. They're grounded in Christ. They're great and precious, and they're everlasting. D.L. Moody said that he used to pray for faith, and then he read Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Read the word of God if you want strength. You're at your end. You feel like you can't go on. Open the Bible. Open God's word and read these words, and they will. It's not just the Bible. It's not just words written by men. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. Start to eat the word. Eat it. Bring it into yourself. I know it's hard. I was thinking about saying this. I know it's when people are weak. A lot of times it's very hard to do that thing. But that's why it's so important for us now to be able to memorize scripture and to have it in us, to draw upon it, right? In those moments of weakness, and to have it inside of us, the God really living inside of us through his word and claiming those things. And God takes, you know, control, and he does amazing things. There were people like Job who was suffering, and he trusted the outcome of his crisis to God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, God is going to save us, but even if he doesn't, then we don't care because we're going to be with him forever. And he's our God, and we're not going to turn our backs on him. Paul was in prison. Paul was in prison and praising God and singing songs because he knew that his Redeemer lived. And he knew there was something much greater than the bars of a prison to hold him in. There are also other examples in the Bible of people that waited on God in faith during their lives. And this is also a great encouragement and another reason to read God's word, because we learn about what other people had to go through. Abraham waited 10 years for Isaac to be born. 10 years. Right? 10 years for his son to be, he was tested by God. Joseph waited 12 years in prison before his dream was fulfilled. 12 years. Joshua and Caleb waited 40 years in the desert because of the unbelief of their generation, but they lived to possess the promised land. David waited for 10 years being hounded by Saul in the desert before he was crowned king. And as a fugitive on the run, he wrote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who all of those years." And then he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" That is exactly what Jesus is saying. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The disciples waited 10 days in the temple courts for the Spirit who came with power on the day of Pentecost. And so we can see in these examples that there is waiting. There is a time of waiting, and sometimes it's years that we go on with these kind of things. But I can tell you this, that what God says here in his word is the truth, that he can heal people. And his promises are true for that. And so we need to say that. And we need to believe that. And so that gives us strength in times when we're going through pandemics, when we go through times of trial and the things that come up in our lives, so that we're equipped and we know that God is going to see us through those times. Amen. We continue with this story. He allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James, and they came to the house of the ruler, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child's not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in to where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement, and he charged them that no one should know about it and told them to give her something to eat. Isn't that a beautiful story? The man was distraught going to Jesus and saying, I don't know what to do. I can't turn to anybody else. There's no medicine that we've tried that has worked. There's all these different things. And so you've got to help me. My daughter is dying. I know I didn't agree with you, you know, like with what I heard about you being God and everything like that, but I don't have anywhere to go. I need to come to you. Can you help me? And what does Jesus say? Forget you. You didn't like me yesterday, did you? Right? Forget you. You need me now, sure. He goes with the man and he heals the child. He has authority over death. His authority over sickness and disease. But he has to have faith. He's looking for faith. So it's good for us to think about that, to think about our faith. What does faith mean to us? What would we do in these kind of situations? Would we have had that kind of faith? Are we going to listen to other people who say, forget about it, you know, it's past, you know, you might as well just accept the whole thing? I really believe that we are called to have a life of faith. A life of faith. It's one that continually goes on. There are going to be some times when we lack it, and there's going to be times when we're saying, Lord, this is too much for me, I can't take this. There's other times that God forms this in us and helps us through his word to be able to do that. So take God at his word. My position on this is that we need to believe that God can heal someone today. I know that there are people who say, well, I lost somebody, and I can say that I also lost someone in my life who we were praying for and they died. But I also know that their future is secure in Christ. I know that it hurts me to think that I have this loss in my life and they're no longer a part of my life, but I know that they're with my Savior. They're with their Savior in heaven. They have a much better life than they had here and that I'm having here, and that one day we would be reunited. And so that's a comfort to me and to know that. But does God heal now? Yes. But at one time we are going to leave this life. We're going to have to leave this body, right? Going to have to at some point do that. And these people did that as well. But God came into these people's lives to show us that he has the power to come and change our situations. And he is God. He is greater than medicine. He is greater than all these things. But I want to let you know that I also believe that medicine is very useful, because I have a sister who's taking medicine since she was a teenager, and without that, it would have been really, really awful for her. And so God provides those things. But what I'm trying to say here today, I think what God is trying to say to us is that he knows that we've been going through things in our lives, and we've been going through a pandemic, and we have things that we have lost out on, but there is much more to gain in him. There's much more to gain as we trust in him. We give our lives to him. We say, Lord, take my hand and lead me on now. What is coming next? How can I be involved in your kingdom? How can I be involved in spreading the good news and helping people to have hope in these times that we live in? I think that's one of the biggest things that we can do in our communities, you know, is to show up. We have 4th of July coming up, just to be there watching the parade. Just to get in, to get to know people, to see people around us, to get, you know, it's amazing to have a sense of a relationship formed. You know, we had the firemen come to our church that day, and then you see somebody on the street and they're like, hey, I know you. You know, and so suddenly the person that you didn't know at all becomes a reality in your life, and so you have that connection with people. There's a guy who comes to our church every Saturday and delivers these beautiful flowers. And I have an idea. What I would like very much is for him and for his sister, who is the one who makes these beautiful flowers and these arrangements for us for years, to come on our anniversary, and we can honor their work for our church and the way that they have blessed us through the beauty of their arrangements. And his coming every single Saturday to open the door and bring those flowers and put them downstairs for us, right? But there's these other, I've known him for a long time, but yesterday when he came, he lingered a little bit. Just to say, so how are things? You know? And he didn't look like he was in a hurry, and he told me something else, and we spent a couple of minutes talking. But I really think that that's what God is doing here too. He's helping us to relate to people, and that we do go through things, but we're here as his light to help others to know him. And sometimes it takes a little bit of preparation in those relationships to get things going. I think a lot of you know what I'm talking about, that relationships are being formed in this kind of a way. But take to heart this story. spend some time lingering on this story and think about what God did for these two people, for the woman who was sick with a disease for 12 years, and for Jairus, the leader of a synagogue who was powerless to help his child live. And understand that how sweet it is to know God and to worship a God who can come and heal us and can hear our pleas to him and cares about our children, cares about their lives, wants them to do well. The best thing we can do is foster that in a young life when they're still young so that they'll know him from the very beginning. I hope that helps a little today. I think that's it. But mainly, you know, if you know someone that's going through the pandemic, take some time to talk about it. You know, if they bring up something like, you know, it's been really tough and we've been going through this kind of a thing, then take some time to just pray with them and just say, you know, I read a word today where God said, don't fear, only believe in him. And see the power of God at work in the lives of people who are open to think, yeah, God, I need God. I need to have him in my life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word, this beautiful testimony of how Jesus healed two people. That a woman who had suffered for so long saw the promises of God worked out in her life. The promises of you, Lord. The promises to love us eternally, to be there always for us, to have a place in heaven reserved for us, to see us through difficult times. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. Lord, help us to believe. Bring us into that, Lord. Help us as a church to, if there's anyone here who's going through something, Father, that's something that they haven't been able to express, that they don't feel ready to do, help them to. Well, if you feel that way right now, brothers and sisters, come forward and share. You know, just sit, pray in the front here. But if you're going through something, don't hold it in. Don't keep it away from God. Give it to God. If you're going through something that you really are carrying for a long time, and maybe it's been for years and years, don't be afraid. Only believe. Come to God. Tell him about it. Let him know what you're going through. Share your life with him. Your loved ones. I just want to pray for my sister Nancy and my sister Susan that you would heal them of mental illness. Thank you for both of them. I grew up with them. They are my family. Pray for your family. Help them by praying for them. Help your friends by praying for them and sharing the word with them. Help them. Pray these things in Jesus' name.